You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It's a great pleasure to have with us Dr. Bruce Bechtel. He is one of those guys that I always turn to when it comes to matters involving not just national security at large, but specifically the threats to our national security posed by North Korea. This is a country in which he has specialized for many years, both in the United States Marine Corps, as a member of the intelligence community, and now as an associate professor of political science at Angelo State University. He is one of those guys whose writings on these subjects, including his most recent book, North Korea and Regional Security in the Kim Jong-un Era, are really required reading for all of us. Bruce Bechtel, welcome back. It's good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Frank. It's nice to be here.
There's so much to talk about North Korea. It seems almost every day there's some new provocation coming out of there. Specifically, Bruce, I guess I'd ask sort of an overview as to where you think Kim Jong-un is at the moment in terms of the effort clearly underway to consolidate power. We've had a recent party Congress. And in terms of specifically his relations with the military, that he seems to be showering with a lot of new weapon systems, many of which seem designed to threaten us.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of pundits out there now, and experts, in fact, who are saying that it appears that he has consolidated his power now more so than ever before, especially because of what we saw happen last week, the huge meeting, unprecedented, really, since Kim Jong-il that we saw in Pyongyang. But I would say I think we continue to see issues with the relationship Kim Jong-un has with his own military and his attempt to consolidate power there. I still think that of the three pillars of power in the North Korean power infrastructure, the party, the security services, and the military, he is weakest in the military. And I think this is evidenced by the continuing shuffle that we see in the leadership of the North Korean military. We just don't see that happening.
We're visiting with Dr. Bruce Bechtel of Angelo State University, a former senior Marine in the intelligence business, including in this space of monitoring the threats emanating from the Korean Peninsula, specifically North Korea. And you were talking about the still unsettled relationship between the dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, and his military. Give us a sense of where you think things stand and where they're likely to go from here, Bruce.
Well, I think that, as you know, we continue to see more purges in the military than anywhere else within the power infrastructure of North Korea. We continue to see more purges. We continue to see more shuffling around of positions, you know, simply moving guys from one position to another, as often as not demotions. So I think there's a sign that we continue to see Kim growing, but not yet achieving the power that his father had with the North Korean military. We also see a sign, a very important sign, that he's trying to appease the military by looking at all the weapon systems that the North Koreans are advancing at a much faster pace than they did under Kim Jong-il. You know, the ballistic missile systems, the fact that they're experimenting with different types of nuclear weapons, the fact that we see new advanced systems along the DMZ, such as a 300-millimeter multiple rocket launcher that can hit every single inch of Seoul. These are all indications that he's not only trying to control the military, but appease the military, and he just hasn't gotten there yet.
When you look at the kinds of capabilities, in addition to targeting every inch of Seoul, it sounds from what Bruce Klinger, one of your former colleagues now at the Heritage Foundation, but formerly one of the top intelligence guys in the North Korean space in the Central Intelligence Agency, told me yesterday, is that they're missiles that are now increasingly of an intercontinental range may well be able to hit practically every inch of the American homeland as well. And Bruce, if you look at this thug in Pyongyang, Kim Jong-un, and you look at the struggle for power, and you look at these kinds of nuclear and missile capabilities, among other things, that are coming on stream, do you assess the threat from North Korea to be higher today than it has in the past?
I would, and I think the reason for that is because we have two key issues. And the first one is that they're obviously, as Bruce Klingner said yesterday, they're advancing their ballistic missile program. The missile he's talking about is the KN-08, which now appears that it has a cluster of engines that gives it a far longer range than the Taepodong has had. You combine that with the insecurity that Kim Jong-un feels in his own government and his inexperience, and that makes us having a threat that not only is exacerbated from its capabilities, but more unpredictable because of the instability in the North Korean government. So I think this will be an ongoing concern as we move forward.
What we're seeing signs of in the U.S. government, Dr. Bruce Bechtol, as you know, is that those who have been feverishly trying to improve Barack Obama's legacy, and I was just talking with another of the Heritage Foundation leadership, Jim Carafano, about this pretty dismal legacy in the national security space. You have the president talking, it seems, about trying to fashion in his last days, if possible, a peace deal to end World War II with North Korea. The terms of it and all the rest can only be speculated about at this point. But what are your thoughts on the advisability of that idea under present circumstances, Bruce Bechtol?
Well, in my opinion, that would be a very ill-advised initiative. And I think if he was to talk to the government of President Park Geun-hye in South Korea, they would say the same thing. This is all designed, most serious analysts who look at North Korea closely, as you know, all use words of caution when talking about this deal, advancing this deal with North Korea, because North Korea, their number one goal, obviously, is either control or conquering of the entire Korean Peninsula. And they believe the first step to that is getting United States troops off the Korean Peninsula. So any peace agreement that we were to make with the North Koreans, that would be one of the first steps that the North Koreans would insist on. And I just think that would be abandoning our allies in South Korea. I think it would be a very ill-advised thing to do.
The desirability or the intention of talking with the North Koreans, unfortunately, is not confined to Barack Obama's team. It seems as though Donald Trump is also expressing a desire to sit down with Kim Jong-un. I assume your advice would be similarly cautionary in that regard.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't have to use any fancy international relations theory, although we could do that if you want. But but I mean, if you look back on past precedent, simply look at the past history, you see that talks with the North Koreans have always devolved to the point where the North Koreans got some of the things they wanted. We got nothing that we wanted. And the North Koreans never lived up to any of the agreements that they've made. It's been that way since the end of the Cold War. So, you know, again, one doesn't have to look at fancy international relations theory. All one has to do is look at past history since 1990 and to know that having talks with the North Koreans is simply not something that should be meant to make a radical change in our foreign policy in Northeast Asia.
I have to let go at that for the moment. Dr. Bruce Bechtol, thank you so much for joining us and for your lifetime of service to dealing with this very important and vexing problem of North Korea. I look forward to our further conversation about it in the days ahead. Next up, we'll be speaking with Representative Ted Poe, one of the most important members of Congress when it comes to matters involving things like terrorism financing. I'll talk to them about that and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.